Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think one of the least favorite things that a pastor likes to do is to preach on the table of duties, especially when the table of duties have to do with what hearers owe to their pastors. It's never a fun thing to talk about those things from a pastoral perspective, and so oftentimes that is one of the parts of the catechism that gets neglected. But the lectionary that far predated me selected Hebrews 13 as a part of our readings for tonight, and so I do want to spend a little bit of time therein. Obey those who rule over you, be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. These are words found in the Small Catechism in that section titled Table of Duties. Luther begins by collecting Bible passages that have to do with what is required of pastors, of bishops, overseers, elders. Again, this is all wrapped up into that pastoral office. What is required of them? The scriptural mandate is very clear. He must be above reproach. He must be apt to teach. He is not to be a drunkard or a reviler. Rather, he is to rule his own household well, because if he cannot keep his own children in subjection, then how can he rule well the household of God? This is a part that pastors are comfortable talking about, because it's what's required of him. But the next section he will quickly glance over to not try to offend anyone, to not try to make it about him. And I'm not going to do that tonight, make it about me or gloss over it. The fact is, as few of you are gathered here tonight, thanks for coming, it is an essential part. Because oftentimes people don't realize what goes into that pastoral office. A pastor has to give an account for those souls that are charged to him. This coming Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday, Misericordias Domini. And we will hear about how Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd, that great shepherd, that pastor. And that the men that he places into the office of the holy ministry are his under shepherds. It is important that that man follow what God's word says. But it is also important that the people who are called by God's name also submit themselves to the word of God. You see, pastors actually take stock in their people. I don't mean asking for your bank reports. I mean, I pray for you. I think about you. I wonder how your children are doing in school, how your grandchildren are faring as they've moved away. Pastors care about you because you have been given, at least temporarily, into their care. I don't make decisions lightly. I have a group of men that devote themselves to prayer, to the Word of God, and those decisions are made trying to let God lead this congregation, this community, our board of elders, this church, this family. On the last day, pastors are going to give an account for that which was given into their care. They watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So obey those who rule over you, be submissive because of this. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. If a pastor only ever hears third, fourth hand about whatever complaints or grumblings there are, and doesn't often get to hear about the joy of maybe a bump in pay, maybe what your child was able to recite from the catechism at the age of 3, or that you sing hymns with him or her, Too often that can be a bog down. It is not then carried out with joy, but with grief. And that is not a benefit to the pastor and is not a benefit to the flock. Rather, we are called to love one another. That we put the best construction on everything, that I don't immediately jump to thinking that you're doing the worst thing possible against me, but the congregation doesn't do that against her pastor either. You are to pray for us. And not just us, not just that man, but for his wife and for his children. Because too often a pastor's wife is one of the loneliest jobs in the whole world. People don't know how to talk to her. They think of her as Mrs. Pastor, when she is a woman who prays for you as well, when she cares about you as well, and she needs your prayers and your encouragement as well. This is so helpful for us to work together. If at every moment a pastor and a congregation are warring at each other, if at every moment they are not looking to God's word but their feelings, or if they believe that tradition only exists within their lifetime, this is less than helpful. But when a pastor takes stock in his people, when he cares about them, when he sees them, when he prays for them, when he talks to them, when he shows up for them, he is not just a hireling. He cares because God has called him to care. He is not some hireling that will simply run off when the wolf comes. Rather, he will use the word of God to fight off the ravenous wolves. God will use him as his humble instrument. He points you to Jesus. This past Sunday, we heard about Thomas and how he doubted and why he is forever known as Doubting Thomas, even though we talked about on Sunday how he gives this beautiful confession. Dominus et Deus, Lord and God. Was Thomas the only one that had doubted before he had seen Jesus for himself? St. Mark writes, Jesus rose early on that first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. We spent a lot of time talking about spiritual warfare this last Lent. But we see that Jesus Christ conquers the devil and his horde. We see that he cast them out. 7 demons possessed this woman. And while we don't have explicit words about how he goes about it, we know that at the word of Jesus, the devil flees. And she fills herself then of a life, not returning to whatever it was that caused her to be possessed, not returning to fill her time with things that do not matter, but filling her time devoted to hearing Jesus, to listening to him, to submitting to him. And when the times were right, following him. Jesus cast out 7 demons from Mary Magdalene. What has he done in your life? Maybe you don't recognize the demons, but I tell you the truth, they are there. Fill yourself, your heart, your lips, your mind with the word of God. Sing the ancient hymns of our church, for they are time-tested, sung by your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, if they were in fact Christians. And even if they weren't, our ancestors in the faith that share not by our blood, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus appears to her. He comforts her. And he sends her. Not to be the first lady pastor, as sometimes I hear the ELCA teach, but he sends her to proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He sends all of us to proclaim that, man, woman, or child. But when she went to them, what does Mark say? When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. For them, they had to see it for themselves. Mark mentions the road to Emmaus very briefly here. He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Jesus had hidden himself from them as he walked and talked with them on the way, and he expounded the Old Testament prophecies to them that they might finally understand who the Messiah was. But they needed to repent too. We need to hear, and we need to believe. We need to trust, and we need to obey. Not so that we can save ourselves, but that so that the salvation that is won by the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ lives on in us, keeps us alive in that living faith. Do not let the cares of this world or what the devil throws at you ever take your faith away. Cling to it firmly. Be where he has promised. Receive his gifts often. The church sings stanzas cut out of our newest hymnal, but still in TLH. Like the golden sun ascending, breaking through the gloom of night, on the earth his glory spending, so that darkness takes to flight. Thus my Jesus from the grave and death's dismal, dreadful cave rose triumphant Easter morning at the early purple dawning. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.